Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. This is our 22nd study in the book of Proverbs, and we come today to chapter 22, verse 19. And Father, we ask your blessings on the word that we are about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 22:19. It says, so that your trust may be in the Lord, I have instructed you today, even you. You can't find anyone who's in the same league as God when it comes to goodness and trustworthiness. And so the goal of my teaching is simple. I want you to know God better. Not just know about Him, but know Him better. Because I know that the more you know Him, the easier it'll be for you to trust Him. 20. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send to you? The lesson is this. The more you know the Word, the more true and reliable words you'll have, and therefore the better equipped you'll be to give sound advice to others. Well, you talk about counsel. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit in you is a dynamite combination, totally sufficient to help anyone. 22. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them. The judicial dream team isn't Cochran, Bailey, and Shapiro. It is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If a crooked judge or a shyster lawyer takes advantage of you, Almighty God will take up your cause, and in the end, they will wish that they had never seen your face. 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. God doesn't want you hanging around with someone who has a bad temper. Trouble follows those who blow their top. And God doesn't want that type of person to rub off on you, His child. Verse 26. Do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge, one of those who is surety for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should He take away your bed from under you? The comforts of this world aren't the most important thing, and certainly we should not put them before God. But at the same time, God wouldn't have us think of them as being absolutely worthless either. And He wouldn't want us to do something stupid like guarantee someone else's loan and possibly lose the nice things that we have that God has given us. 28. Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. Dishonest landowners in those days would sometimes sneak out after dark and move boundary stones of their property. They stole land from their neighbor to increase the size of their own property. You know, it's a testimony to the sinful nature of man that God would have to tell us not to do something like that, isn't it? Verse 29, do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Getting to be good at something, acquiring a skill, is no accident. You know, if you pray while others watch TV, if you work while others sleep, if you practice while others horse around, if you persevere while others quit because it's no longer fun, then you will be like the cream that rises to the top. And in the long run, your efforts are going to pay off. Let's go into chapter 23, verse 1. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you. In other words, restrain your appetites. He says in verse 2, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. And the important point here is to exercise restraint in eating and drinking. It says that his food is deceptive in verse 3. That suggests that this really isn't a friendly dinner party, but rather an attempt to wine and dine in order to influence. Now, if someone is given to overindulgence of food and drink, or has a weakness in some other form of appetite, then they can be manipulated into doing things that they shouldn't do, especially if that thing that they lust for is dangling there right in front of their nose. Bluegills would do well to control their excessive appetite for night crawlers during fishing season, and we would do well to control our excessive desire for anything at any time, because it leaves us vulnerable. Verse 4, do not overwork to be rich, because of your own understanding cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Everything in this material world eventually wears out. I mean, your heart is designed to pump only X amount of times before it wears itself out and quits. Your organs and your muscles are designed to be used X amount of times, and then they wear out and they quit. Which means that they should be used like money. Don't waste your energy. Don't waste your body. Don't wear yourself out working for the things that you're going to leave behind after you die. 6. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but in his heart is not with you. He is a hypocrite. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. It's not what a person says that's important. It's what they are thinking. Don't be the dinner guest of someone who despises you with every bite that you take. Outwardly, they may say, yeah, sit, eat, enjoy yourself. Inwardly, he's saying, I'm bitter that you're eating my food. You know, I really don't care to be around those who make you feel, sometimes in a very subtle way, make you feel like it's the end of the world if they do you a favor. Keep it. And that's what God is talking about here. 9. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Life is too short and truth is too valuable to waste it on those who are not the least bit interested in changing their foolish ways. 10. Do not remove the ancient landmark, nor enter the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is mighty. He will plead their cause against you. And I really believe that God allows the weak and the defenseless to be among us, to give us an opportunity to help those who can't help themselves and cannot repay us. They are opportunities. Not to help them is bad. To abuse them is to incur God's wrath. 12. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. There's no shortcut to knowledge. And there's no shortcut to wisdom or sanctification or anything else that's worthwhile, really. You know what bugs me? How-to books that promise quick, easy steps on how to obtain holiness, or knowing God in just 3 minutes a day. Man, if somebody can't give God more than 3 minutes a day, they don't deserve to know Him. And maybe they should be taken in by the religious frauds who write those books. 13. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. You're not being kind to your child if you let them run wild. Condoning bad behavior will create a monster. He will have trouble all of his life that could have been avoided if he would have been corrected at a young age. 15. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself, yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. And there's no greater joy for a godly parent than to see their children living for God and taking a stand for truth. Actually, the behavior of a child can measure the spirituality of a parent. Not always, but sometimes it does. Verse 17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Make sure enjoying the company of God is the number one goal of your life. A preoccupation with the things of the world, or envying the wicked because of the things they have or the things they do, will only discourage you. Fellowship with God is so good and so superior to anything the wicked have, that if you enjoy that fellowship, you'll find yourself pitying the world, not envying them. 19. Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. It doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. The wise thing is to keep doing things God's way. And we can. It's our choice. Our will belongs to us. The majority may do things the wrong way, but they can't make you follow them. 20. Do not mix with wine-bibbers, drunks, or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe the man with rags. Two things you want to stay away from, overeating and overdrinking. And stay away from people who do it also, or you'll learn their ways. Verse 22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. The elderly are such a wonderful gift to younger people, especially the World War II generation. And there aren't many of those who lived through the Depression and World War II left as I make this recording. But those of us who are younger should take every opportunity we can to get to learn from their experience and what they had to sacrifice. Verse 23. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Do what you have to do to get truth. Make the effort. Put in the time. And get as much truth as you possibly can get. Then don't let go of it for anyone or anything. Live by it, speak it, pray it, teach it. Base your foundation for this life and eternity on it. Cling to truth. Don't let go for anyone. 24. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Give your mother something nice for Mother's Day. And give your dad something nice for Father's Day. But more than anything, give your parents a godly child. If your parents are where they should be spiritually, they'll appreciate a godly son or daughter more than anything. 26. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit, and a seductress is a narrow well. She also lies in wait as for a victim, and increases the unfaithful among men. A narrow well is easy to fall into and almost impossible to get out of. A woman that's no good is like a narrow well, says God. She's trouble. She lures men to herself, and when they take the bait, it's wham. Messed up life. Can't get out of it. The guy is stuck down a narrow well, trapped, and he can't get out. Too late. 29. Who has woe, who has sorrow, who has contentions, who has complaints, who has wounds without cause, who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at wine, those who go in search of mixed wine. Oh, and what a liar Satan is. And what an expert he is at using TV advertising. You know, especially during sporting events, football games and stuff, beer commercials show beautiful women being attracted to athletic guys. And why? What is the secret of their great success? Well, they drink Coors Light, of course. Everybody's happy. Man, everybody's in great physical condition. What a different picture that is from what God says. Especially those who overindulge. And those who are at one time in that lifestyle know that God's picture is the accurate one. Verse 31. Do not look on wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. To a wine lover, I suppose thinking about how good it tastes and gazing at how good it looks will lead to drinking too much of it. I don't know. But the end result of that is you're going to feel like you've been hit by a snake, bit by a snake, hit by a 2x4. Principle is, be careful not to become fascinated over anything that's sinful. Be careful what you gaze at, and be careful what you think about. When you find that that's happening, redirect your thoughts just as fast as you possibly can. 33, your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. What a killer strong drink is to a person's brain. Listen, anything that slurs your speech and makes you unable to think straight ought to scare you. It ought to make you think, what am I doing to my brain? Why am I putting this in my body? Verse 34. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of a mast. I wonder why beer commercials don't show people laying on their beds, watching the room spin around and around, and then getting up, staggering to the toilet, where they violently throw up. Beautiful women and athletic men playing football by some hot springs in the Rocky Mountains does not happen. But what I just described to you is happening to many drunks right now in many places across the United States, right as I speak. 35. They have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake, that I may seek another drink? Fighting and drunkenness often go together. The guy gets smacked a few times and says, I didn't feel it. Well, he's going to feel it in the morning. That's one of the problems with drinking and drunkenness. A person does foolish things and they don't even care. They don't feel the consequences until the next day. And we'll stop there for today. Picking it up in chapter 24, verse 1, next time. Until then, so long, everyone.